You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we're going to look ahead to the action from Toaster and Windsor on this edition. There's plenty of it on Monday. We're also racing at Brighton, Musselburgh and Wolverhampton domestically, and there's an Irish card over at Roscommon. You'll hear every race live from 1:40pm with Natalie Carey, John Budden and James Millman on Monday afternoon. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on today's edition is Alistair Whitehouse Jones. Hello, Alec.
Hi, Sam.
How are you?
Not bad, thank you. Yeah,
good. Enjoyed the action over the past week. Chester's May meeting. Is it a particular favourite of yours?
Yeah, I love it. I do. It's not a meeting that I get stuck into betting wise, but it's one of them great fixtures, isn't it? That we all look forward to. Great atmosphere, good racing, competitive, and last week didn't disappoint.
Yeah, correct. We're in that stage of the season now where we're seeing a lot of classic trials, obviously looking forward to the Derby and the Oaks first weekend of June at Epsom. But we seem to be seeing a lot of trials, Ali, and no real sort of superstars. The Derby at this stage doesn't look the strongest renewal.
Without question, which makes the decision of the connections, you know, of Galileo's Gold, the 2000 Guineas, when all the more baffling that they've ruled it out so prematurely.
What did you make of the gene test?
Well, if all owners and trainers or whatever had done gene tests, then the history of racing would look very different.
Yeah.
You could think of a number of Derby winners that I would have thought that would have failed a genes test. Red Rum won a Grand National and he's kicked off his career at over 5 furlongs. I would have thought he would have failed a genes test, given Aintree in mind. So, to be honest with you, I don't know enough about it to give a massively strong opinion, but it's not gospel.
Mm.
And the fact is, they always said this horse would stay a mile and a quarter. And if you stay a mile and a quarter, you might get away with winning a lesser Derby.
Yeah.
And this year's renewal, unless Minding runs in it, is not going to be the best. Obviously, we're going to learn a lot next week at York with mid-term. He could win impressively. If he does, then he's going to be the worthy favourite, but clear favourite. But at the minute, yeah, they all seem to be beating each other, and the trials have so far been fairly insignificant, you know. I mean, 5-1 about US Army Ranger, I think you'd be absolutely nuts to back it at fives after the way it won at Chester.
Yeah, it was baffling stuff on the Rudy, really. With I find it incredibly ironic as well that Shane Heffernan was handed a 2-day ban for overuse of the whip the day after.
The day after,
the ride on Port Douglas. Hints of suspicion about that for you, Ali?
It didn't look good.
No.
No, not at all. It didn't look good. I mean, you're strictly on the form, you know, the second would be a good thing to reverse the placings next time. He was giving him £4. Mm. You know, they made sure that the favourite had the race exactly run to suit. So, and he still only scrambled home. So he needs to come on a hell of a lot to win a Derby on that form.
Yeah.
You'd be a lot more interested in the second, who, you know, finished fairly full of running, I thought.
Mm.
Should have won.
Indeed. Indeed. Port Douglas is 16-1 for the Derby, if you are interested. A couple of horses then that ran yesterday on trials day at Lingfield to take out of it. Humphrey Bogart won the Derby trial over a mile and 3 furlongs. One of the only runners that doesn't actually have an entry into the Derby. And as we've said there, given that it's going to be a slightly weaker renewal this year, would the supplement fee be worth it?
Well, I think they've touched on the, you know, that they will supplement him, I think if I read it correctly, that was the intention. But you've got an 84 rated horse in third, beaten, who arguably could have won across the stars. Admittedly, 84 is not a true reflection of his ability. He was the eye catcher for me. If that if they run that race again on a more conventional course, Across the Stars for me would be a certainty to come out on top. And I don't think he's a future Derby winner. So, yeah, they're in within their right to supplement him, but I'll give up the game if he wins the Derby.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Fair enough.
Take up gardening.
Yeah. In terms of the Oaks, Aidan O'Brien looks to have an incredibly strong hand for that. We saw a Seventh Heaven win yesterday at Lingfield. I think he saddles five of the first six in the betting. So even if Mining does go to the Derby, he looks to have a particularly strong hand in the Oaks, which looks a bit of a deeper race than the Derby at this moment in time.
A deeper race indeed, yeah. And he's still shuffling his pack. Obviously, you know, what they do with Minding is going to have a, you know, put the race in a very different complexion. Given the strength he's got in the Oaks, should nothing really stand out in the trials that remain, then you've got to think Minding must have a, you know, there's a strong likelihood that they'll run it in the Derby. It goes against tradition, but you know, it would be it should be a fascinating contender and very much the one to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of the other racing then yesterday, of course, the big race at Ascot was won by Flash Fire, a welcome winner for Godolphin in a big race. Probably don't have as many as they would like given the money that they've thrown at their horses, but that one won quite nicely.
Yeah, it did, yeah. Yeah, they are at the minute seem to be, you know, they seem to be treading water in the big races, but going nowhere. But they've got a lot of very good horses. I mean, Elite Army won the listed race yesterday. I thought he was a big eye-catcher. A horse that's destined for better things, definitely a group horse. But, you know, it's early days with him. He could yet develop into a group one horse. I mean, it's a long way from winning a listed race by a head, but he's definitely the sort that they haven't got to the bottom of yet. Flash Fire, yeah, won the Victoria Cup. Number of big eye catchers in behind that in that race. They all sort of got in each other's way, and I'm not sure the form is that reliable, but there were some really big eye catchers in behind. And looking for it, you know, I thought, just touching on Lingfield again, I thought that Across the Stars really should have won, and I bet there's a few lads at Smichael States thinking, God, why didn't they run him in a handicap of 84? Because it'd have been an absolute, probably got a stone in hand off that figure.
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. Anything else on your mind at the moment then before we move on to tackle Monday's action?
Next year's Grand National, but that's a long way away.
Really? am I speaking to Darren Owen?
I've still not got over Gallant Oscar coming down when going ominously well. I just, you know, they could have run it at Punchestown, they didn't. I think they're going to lay it out again for next year's race. So 50-1 at the minute. I'll be availing myself of that through the summer months.
Okay. Is that one of those bets where you top it up as you go? Couple of quid here, couple of quid there, as you win other bets along the way?
I won't be winning many other bets in between, because I won't be having many bets full stop, but all my eggs will be in one basket.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best of luck with that. We'll move on then to Monday's racing now. We're going to take a look at two jumps races from Toaster and two on the flats from Windsor, but we begin with the jumping at Toaster. We start with their 6 o'clock, which is a handicap hurdle. Just shy of 2 miles is the trip, facing the 11 runners for this one. We spoke last week, Ali, and you said you were very much still in jumps mode. Is that the case at the moment?
I think so. It was a good card at Haydock yesterday, wasn't it? And yeah, clearly now we switch to the flat. I mean, yeah, the jumpers are getting a bit ropey. It's not a bad card, actually. This is a good race at the 6 o'clock at Toaster. There's a bit of depth to it, and there's some interesting runners. So I think Marju's Quest, a lot revolves around him. He absolutely dotted up at Market Raisin the other day. The one concern would be that all his wins have actually come on easy tracks, but he's never run at Toaster before, and I do like the fact that he's won over 2.5 miles. So, you know, it's not as though he's a flat track bully. You know, over 2 mile, he can stay beyond that trip, and he'll need to win round Toaster. But he won so well at Market Raisin the other day that I think he'll follow up under a penalty. I mean, he has won off an even higher mark once you take his penalty into account. So, you know, he wants this good ground. Provided this doesn't come too soon, and there's always a bit of a grey area in that respect, then he should be hard to beat. And the other good thing here for him is that he's the only recognised front runner in the field, so there's every chance of an easy lead, and top man on board in Aidan Coleman. I think he'll be hard to beat.
Okay, it's the top one then for Ali in that 6 o'clock at Toaster, Marju's Quest, the horse in question there. We move on to the 8 o'clock now, novices handicap chase for us here. 2 miles is the trip, just 7 runners go for this one, so we're down to 2 places each way. And that's a shame because it looks as though chances could be given to quite a few here.
Yeah, it's tight. This, yeah, it's a real trappy race, and you're correct. I think you'd be unwilling to rule any of the seven out with complete confidence. The one I think is the dark one is the Tom George horse, Valser de Granval, who is still a maiden after nine runs and pulled up on its last start at Perth. Simply didn't jump well enough that day. Perth can be tricky. I think Toaster is an easier test in that respect. And if you look at this horse's third in a novice hurdle on good ground at Warwick, only last October, it's not as though we're going back too far. He's very well handicapped on that form. I mean, the first is was a horse called Can I Call You Back? The second, Abbreviate. Both those are rated in the 120s. And, you know, here he is lurking off a mark of 106. Yes, he'll need to jump better than at Perth, but if he does so, then, you know, he's without doubt the potential improver here. And, you know, I do like the fact that the stable's in very good form.
Okay.
So Valser de Granval is the selection.
Valser de Granval then in that 8 o'clock at Toaster. We go slightly back in time now for the 6:50 at Windsor. This is a sprint over 6 furlongs. 9 runners line up for this race. What do you make of these sprinters, Ali?
Yeah, it's competitive. Another one you'd be backing.
Yeah.
Sir Billy Wright.
Yeah.
It's a good race. This the one eyes are drawn automatically really to the Hannon horse at Windsor on a Monday, but this Nissa could be on a very good mark. He was progressive in his maidens last season. Like the fact he won at the track over 5 furlongs on good to soft in July. I mean, that was a race he was entitled to win, admittedly, but he looks the type to do better as a 3-year-old. And they've always thought of quite a lot of this horse, and he's been off for 287 days, which is a bit of a nagging concern, so you'd hope that he's going to be strong in the market. But as I said, they've always thought a lot of him, and you know, I'm absolutely convinced, go back this time last year, that you'd have laughed if they thought if you'd said to him this horse would still be on a mark of 85. He's out of a very useful 6 furlong winner. And I just think he's too well handicapped to ignore here. If he's weak in the market, I'd jump ship. I'd be very concerned, but I don't expect him to be. I think unless he's not the horse they think he was going to be, off 85, he's well capable of going close.
Okay, Nissa then for Richard Hannon and Andrea Azzani in that 6:50. We go to the feature race now on Windsor's card. This is the 7:20, the listed Royal Windsor Stakes. A mile is the trip facing these 5 runners, and the market likely to be headed by Lightning Spear, who looked a little bit out of his depth in Group 1 company last season, Ali, but looks on paper very capable of winning a listed event.
Absolutely. I mean, you say he was out of his depth, and he's only beaten 3 lengths in the Jacques Lemarois,
true.
Group 1 at Deauville. I mean, he's got a Queen Anne entry, this horse, and that's not complete pie in the sky. I mean, I agree, he's, you know, everything points to him coming up short at Group 1 level, but he's the type who could yet improve again. You know, he's changed stable now with David Simcock, obviously still with the same connections, but he wouldn't look out of place in the Queen Anne, and that puts his chance on Monday into some sort of perspective back in listed company. You know, he was second in what was a really strong summer mile at Ascot last summer, funnily enough, a Group 2. And provided he's not well short fitness-wise, then this looks his to lose. Battle of Marathon is an interesting alternative. He's only won a 2-year-old maiden, but he's definitely got better this season. And that second in a really strong listed event at Ascot last time out was comfortably a career best. You know, he'll be 110% fitness-wise. So, yeah, he would be the danger. And I think he may have been a tad flattered at Ascot. The first two came from off the pace and they went very fast up front. So just need convincing that isn't a flattering piece of form. But even so, it entitles him to be banging the mix on Monday. But without question, who I think will be second favourite, I'd say he's relying on Lightning Spear being off his A game to win.
Okay, all things pointing towards Lightning Spear then in that listed event at 7:20. Just remind us, please, then, and give us a quick summary of your four picks for the races that we've looked at on Monday.
Yeah, in the 6 o'clock at Toaster, we go with last week's market raising winner, Marju's Quest. Take that one to Defy a Penalty. In the 8 o'clock, the Novice Handicap Chase, Valseur de Granval. Will hopefully be the answer for the Inform Tom George. At 6:50, Nissa is taken to make a winning handicap debut for Richard Hannan, and Lightning Spear can hopefully make his class tell in the feature race there, the listed event.
There we are, the thoughts of Alistair Whitehouse-Jones on Monday's racing. Thank you very much for that, Ali, and best of luck and enjoy.
Cheers, Sam, thank you.
Remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:40pm on Monday afternoon. Natalie Carey, John Budden and James Milman are in the studio to guide you through the meetings at Brighton, Musselburgh, Wolverhampton, Windsor, Toaster and that Irish fixture at Roscommon. Best of luck, whatever you are backing, on Monday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.